Good morning, church. What a beautiful Sunday to be here. The weather is perfect. The sun is shining. The leaves are beginning to unfurl. This is a joyous day. A very warm and hearty welcome to each and every one of you. Those of you who come to worship here each and every Sunday, and those of you who are visiting with us today, a very warm welcome to you all. I've got a few announcements to make. First of all, Pastor Addy and Andrew are both on vacation. Was it something I said? I believe Andrew is in Italy. Yeah. And Addie is in a remote place, definitely relaxing. I want to welcome, and many of you know, David Furness, who is here to provide our music. Alan Malachowski is filling in as our choir director. Yes. And then I want to direct you to page 8 of your bulletin. The announcements are there, but I want to make very special mention of two of them because they happen today. Following worship, we will be hosting a new member interest meeting for anyone who wants to learn more about St. John's, and we will be meeting in the library following worship. And if you don't know where the library is, just ask someone, and I'm sure they will guide you. It's right behind that wall there. And then again today, a soup sale. And you want to order ahead, forms are in the narthex and elevator lobby, and you'll see the choices. There are other announcements on page 8 that I'd like to draw your attention to, so when you get a chance, take a look at them. Today we will be celebrating the sacrament of baptism, and we welcome Diana and Patrick and their daughter who will be baptized today. So for now, I ask you to take a deep breath. Open your hearts, your minds, and your souls as we begin in holy worship. Please stand, if you are able. The risen Christ is here among us. Christ's presence is constant. Christ's power is neither precarious nor capricious. Let us bring all that is within us, heart, mind, soul, and strength, to our worship. We bring all these things to worship. Transform our hope, transform us, and overcome evil.
Would you join with me now in our confession? Great and gracious God, the risen Christ can take us by surprise. We often forget that Jesus comes alongside us in the most ordinary of moments. Jesus comes as a stranger and sojourner, and we are prone to simply ignore or brush aside his presence. Forgive us, God, for the times you were close by and we chose spiritual blindness when you were waiting to be invited into our lives. We pray, loving God, that you would open our eyes in such a way that we would experience the beauty, grace, and gift of others. Slow us down, God, and allow us to savor the kindness, experience, and wisdom those around us can give. Relieve our anxious hearts and fill them with expectation and curiosity. We pray this in the name of Jesus the Christ, the one whose presence is forever. Amen. When we confess our selfishness and short-sightedness, God listens, understands, and offers us a path back to God and to our true selves. We begin again with confidence, forgiveness, and grace. That is good news. Thanks be to God. Well, at this time, I would like to invite Diana and Patrick Lukens to come forward, along with godparents Marissa and Nick. And our elder, Emily Truscott. Well, I want to welcome you all to this very sacred occasion. And Diana, I understand that you grew up in this congregation, so it's so wonderful to welcome you on this special day as we dedicate and baptize this beautiful child. The sacrament of baptism is an outward and visible sign of the grace of God, inasmuch as the promise of the gospel is not only to us but also to our children. Baptism with water and the Holy Spirit is the mark of their acceptance into the care of Christ's church, the sign and seal of their full participation in God's forgiveness, and the beginning of their growth into full Christian faith and discipleship. So Diana and Patrick, I ask you, do you desire to have your child baptized into the faith and family of Jesus Christ? If so, say, we do. And will you teach this child that she may be led to profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? If so, say, we will with the help of God. Marissa and Nick, this question is for you. Will you support Diana and Patrick in this commitment and become a faith partner to Evie? If so, say, we will.
We will.
And the congregation here at St. John's, Let us join together as members of the body of Christ to make our promise as we welcome and embrace this loved one. Together, let us say, as members of Christ's church, we promise this child our love, support, and care. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you. These are the waters of extravagant welcome. These are the waters of God's grace. Let us pray. We thank you, God, for the gift of creation made known to us in water and word. Before the world had shape and form, your spirit moved over the waters, and out of the waters of the deep you formed the firmament and brought forth the earth to sustain all life. In the time of Moses, your people Israel passed through the Red Sea waters from slavery to freedom and crossed the flowing Jordan to enter the promised land. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus Christ, who was nurtured in the water of Mary's womb. Jesus was baptized by John in the water of the Jordan, became living water to a woman at the Samaritan well, washed the feet of the disciples, and sent them forth to baptize with water and the Holy Spirit. O gracious God, bless by your Holy Spirit this water, and bless this child, bless all who witness this sacred occasion. Amen. All right, let's see if we can do this. Oh, you are a cutie. Total cutie here. Yeah, you like me.
Don't hold your breath.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay, I'm going to take this off if you don't mind. Okay. There we go. By what name shall this child be called?
Everest Bell Lukens.
Everest Bell Lukens, I baptize you in the name of the Father. And in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, child of God, a precious traveler of faith, congratulations. Now, I understand that, Diana, you have a tradition, right, that every night before bed, you sing to Evie,
yeah.
Correct? And you are going to grace us today by singing that song that you sing to Evie. And Patrick, are you okay if we take a little stroll through the sanctuary so we can introduce Evie to her brothers, sisters, and siblings in Christ?
Yeah.
Okay, well, this is going well so far. Notice Patrick's right here if I need to hand off.
Thank you.
Before I read the scripture this morning, I want to invite Mom to join our choir. Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. This is the story of the apostles on the road to Emmaus. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you are walking along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you only a stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all of this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of the group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back and told us that they indeed had seen a vision of angels who had said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures." As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of bread.
I'd like to invite the children to come join me on the steps for a story. plenty of room for everybody. There you go. All right, I'm so glad to have so many friends today. Sometimes I sit up here by myself. It's way more fun with friends. So I have a story, maybe some of you know. It's called Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. Yeah. So here's what happened to Alexander. He said, I went to sleep with gum in my mouth, and now there's gum in my hair. And when I got out of bed this morning, I tripped on the skateboard, and by mistake, I dropped my sweater in the sink while the water was running. And I could tell it was going to be a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. At breakfast, Anthony found a Corvette Stingray car kit in his breakfast cereal, and Nick found a junior undercover agent code ring in his breakfast cereal. But all that was in my breakfast cereal box was cereal. I think I'll move to Australia. At school, Mrs. Dickens liked Paul's picture of the sailboat better than my picture of the invisible castle. At singing time, she said I sang too loud. At counting time, she said I left out 16. Who needs 16? I could tell it was going to be a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. There were two cupcakes in Philip Parker's lunch bag, and Albert got a Hershey bar with almonds, and Paul's mother gave him a piece of jelly roll that had coconut sprinkles on the top. Guess whose mother forgot to pack dessert? It was a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. And then we went to the shoe store to buy some sneakers, and Anthony chose white ones with blue stripes, and Nick chose red ones with white stripes. I chose blue one with red stripes, but the shoe man said we're sold out. They made me buy plain old white ones, but they can't make me wear them. When we picked up my dad at his office, he said I couldn't play with his copying machine, but I forgot. He also said to watch out for the books on his desk, and I was as careful as I could be, except for my elbow. He said, don't fool around with his phone, but I think I called Australia. Dad said, please don't pick him up anymore. It was a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. And my mom said, some days are like that, even in Australia. Now, the people that in the story that we just heard were having a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. Jesus, their really good friend and someone who they thought was going to be the Messiah and be the leader, was just killed. And they lost their good friend and they didn't know what to do. So they were kind of running away from the town and didn't know what to do. And when they were walking along the road, a stranger came up to them and asked them why they were walking. And it turns out they were kind of going to Australia to get away from it all. But it turns out that stranger they met on the road was Jesus. And yes, Jesus was and is alive. And they decided then and there they didn't have to run away to Emmaus or Australia or anywhere else. They could go back to Jerusalem and share that good news. And that's good news even for us today, that Jesus is alive and here with us today, especially on a special day like today. So let's say a prayer together. Thank you, God, for letting us know that Jesus is alive and is here with us, even when we have terrible, horrible, no good, very bad days. And thank you for giving us the prayer you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right, thank you for joining me.
Such a beautiful piece of music. Thank you, Alan. Thank you, choir. Thank you, David. Thank you, God. I think we're coming into golfing season, aren't we? In a big way. This morning I want to talk about expectations and how expectations can be, it can be a very energizing thing or a very daunting thing. Expectations can be reasonable or very unreasonable. Expectations can rev your heart or break your heart. And sometimes both. Author and storyteller Peter Rollins, he once shared a story about a pastor who would stand in front of his congregation and finish his rousing sermon each week with an invitation. It was more of an expectation. And he would say, each week following worship, I go to a nearby town and I serve the poor, the oppressed, and the downtrodden. What do you do? How do you show compassion to those who are in need? It's a pretty big challenge. A large expectation, and it was pitched to the congregation each and every week. Of course, the pastor, every time he offered this challenge, the congregation would applaud. And then they'd watch the pastor take off in his car. However, the truth of the situation was that each week following worship, the pastor would go to a different golf course. And he would play 18 holes of golf. This went on for years. And at some point, some angels caught wind of this deception and reported what was going on to God. And God gave the situation some thought and said, you know, I'm going to teach this pastor a lesson he'll not soon forget. So the next Sunday, the pastor showed up at church, and once again, like every other Sunday, he told the congregation that he was going to go out and serve the poor and the downtrodden following worship. And once again, the pastor jumped into his car, sped off to some remote golf course. This time, God was ready. And when the pastor took his very first shot, the ball flew high in the air, hit the green, and rolled right into the hole. And the pastor was impressed. Same thing happened at the second hole. Again at the third hole, the fourth hole, the fifth hole, and so on. Even the shots that were poorly sliced seemed to somehow correct themselves and end up going in for a hole in one. About this time, the angels went over to God and said, hey, God, I thought you were going to punish this guy. What's going on? You've given him a perfect round of golf. God replied, yes, that may be true. But ask yourself this. Who is he going to be able to tell?
We need to share our stories. We need to share the good stuff that we accomplished. You know, we're human beings. We want to share the celebrations. Sometimes we want to share our hurts or our defeats. I think of my kids. I remember when they would color a picture and they'd run into the room, "Mommy, Daddy, look what I did." This human need to share what's inside of us. Just about every evening, my wife Helen and I ask each other how our day went. And we know that we will offer joys, the challenges to each other. And we both know that when we share, these will be received, they will be honored, they will be appreciated. We don't offer advice to each other. We don't try to fix each other. We are simply companions to one another. By the way, the word companion, com meaning with, pan, the word for bread, with bread. That's the etymology of the word, companion. Someone who is there with us. We still, all of us, need to share what's on our hearts, what we've experienced and what we are feeling. And on the day of Easter, following Christ's resurrection, two travelers, two of Jesus' followers, were headed as far away as they could from Jerusalem. They wanted to get out of town. So they took this road headed to a village named Emmaus. It's about 7.5 miles from Jerusalem. And what I can tell you is that their expectations had been crushed. They did not yet know that Jesus had been raised, that Jesus was alive, and they were in a very, very deep place of grief and despair. And the last thing they wanted to do was to stick around in Jerusalem. Now, we all know how disorienting loss can be in our lives. When our expectations suddenly go up in smoke, and when loss smothers our hopes. And I was thinking about times in my family when there was incredible disorienting loss. And I began to think about my Uncle Gerald. I never met my Uncle Gerald. Uncle Gerald was my mom's brother, and he was the best older brother there ever was, according to my mom. Gerald taught my mom how to drive. He was the big brother who would go on a double date as my mom's protector. And my mom just adored Gerald. He enlisted in the United States Marines at the age of 17 and found himself fighting in the thick of the Korean War in 1950 near Incheon. And there he was critically wounded on his 18th birthday. And he spent a very long period of time in a naval hospital in Portsmouth, Virginia. And he finally came home. He had massive head injuries, and he had a series of metal plates in his head. And those plates did not agree with his physiology. And he was in extraordinary pain, so much pain that he took his life. My grandmother never recovered from her grief. And my mom, you can just feel that in my mom today, the loss of Gerald. How palpable and real it was. Following Jesus' torture and his death, those two disciples headed toward Emmaus, their souls were ripped apart. They met this stranger who kind of came up alongside them. And the stranger wanted to know what they were talking about. He wanted to know what was going on inside of them, what was in their heart. And one of the disciples, Cleopas, appeared shocked and surprised that this stranger who had joined up with them didn't know anything about what had happened to Jesus. And Cleopas went on to share his disappointment. He and his companion had this desire that Jesus would accomplish his task to free Israel from Roman domination. Cleopas, and for that matter, all the disciples, had these incredibly high expectations for Jesus. And now they had suddenly vanished. And as these three men neared Emmaus, the stranger seemed to be just walking ahead. Cleopas and this other disciple, something inside of them urged this stranger to stay with them the night. It was getting late. And as they were eating, the three of them, the stranger took bread and broke it. And in that moment, Cleopas and the other disciple suddenly recognized that it was Jesus. It was an eye-opener. What Cleopas and the other disciple began to understand in the moment that they met the risen Christ was that their relationship to Jesus was more important than the expectations and agenda that they had put on Jesus. The desire for Jesus to become a national liberator didn't matter much. It didn't matter as much as the fact that Jesus was present, touching the core of their humanity. This is what Luke writes. This is a beautiful sentence. This is Cleopas and the stranger, and I'm going to quote them. Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road? While he was opening the scriptures to us? And of course, once they recognized that it was Jesus, Cleopas and this other disciple did a U-turn. They went back to Jerusalem. They were able to face their lives. And they went back to Jerusalem to meet up with their companions, their community. You see, the gospel stories, all of them, and this particular resurrection story in particular illustrates that Jesus is the centerpiece of community. Without Jesus, this is just a room full of people. And what's more, Jesus is, he is a liberator. He's not a revolutionary. wanting to overthrow a government, but he's a liberator. He's a liberator of your and my hearts. Jesus liberates us from hatred, from indifference. He liberates us from fear and isolation, and he's pointing us toward love, caring, embrace, and community. Without the work of becoming a community in which all participants come to trust and understand one another, without that, churches can just become another institution in which people foist agendas and expectations upon one another. The work of fostering community, igniting the passion of members, and supporting of their lives, that's the key thing. Keeping the organization running is secondary. I guarantee you that the organization will take care of itself if sufficient care and focus is placed on the building and fostering of community. The dream of Jesus was for the church to foster, grow, and support community like no other gathering on planet Earth. Evie's baptism earlier in the service this morning was a sacred act in which she was received into this community of faith. The promise that we made to Evie and to her family, and to ourselves, was that we would focus with every gift and resource available to help her and all of us grow deeper in community, deeper in relationships, deeper in understanding, deeper in love, deeper into the body of Christ. If we were looking for things to measure, as a congregation, community would be a worthwhile endeavor. Churches measure lots of things. But what about measuring the impact of community? Those two disciples, Cleopas and the unnamed disciple, traveling on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize Jesus immediately. It took time. It took intimate conversation. It took the ability of those two disciples to share their grief, their disappointment, with a stranger who had merely shown up in their midst. And it took the enormous gesture of those two followers to invite this so-called stranger to share a meal and to stay with them. In the intimacy of a meal, in the intimacy of conversation, in the midst of heart-to-heart sharing, Jesus appeared. And that is very good news for you and for me and for the world. Amen.
This morning we have a number of joys and concerns that I'd like to share with you. First of all, a joy, the baptism of Everest Bell Lukens, and she's been such a good little girl up here this morning. Absolutely beautiful little girl. The rose on the altar this morning is to celebrate the birth of Knox Moore, the great grandson of Cliff Knight. Again, we are thankful for the safe return of David. We put him right to work as soon as he got home. And also, Alan only thought that he retired. We put him to work as well, so we're grateful for both of them. Then we have a birthday to celebrate. Yesterday was Don Hunsicker's birthday. And it says here, 39 again. Now, when I saw that, my wife said to me this morning, you're not going to give away his age. No, I wouldn't do that. So I got together some of our very wonderful mathematical geniuses in the congregation, Lillian Panachida, Scott Brown, and Steve Drinkle, all wonderful math teachers. And I said, I have a dilemma here. I can't figure out Don Hunsicker's age. What does 39 again mean? And they met for about 3 hours, and they came back, and they said, we have the formula. It is 39 times 2 plus 9. So, Don, I didn't give away your age. Some serious concerns. Our prayers for Joan Hadley, who has just and recently been put on hospice. For Thelma Bruner, who is in Lansdale Abington Hospital. Prayers for Thelma. For the family of John Jostin, who passed away after a long illness. John was a music teacher in North Penn School District. And we want to remember Jane Malachowski, who is having knee surgery this Thursday. So a number of concerns. Please join me in prayer at this time. Lord, we thank you this morning for the beauty of this season, for rebirth, and the beauty of spring. We thank you for the hope of Easter and your message of salvation. We, like the apostles on their journey to Emmaus, feel your presence in a real and tangible way, which will enable us to face the challenges of our tomorrows. Lord, we thank you for the hope of a new life, for the joy of the birth of Knox Moore, Cliff's great-grandson, for the sacrament of baptism of Everest Bell Lukens. Bless these children and their families as they grow in your love. Lord, we thank you for this church, its leaders, and our church family. Continue to guide us, Lord, as we do your will in this community. Continue to be by our side as we journey through this time of transition and change. Lord, we thank you for the road that each of us individually travels on life's journey. May our lives reflect your spirit, values, courage, and conviction. For all who enter this season with heavy burdens, the mentally, emotionally, or financially stressed, those assaulted in body or spirit, we pray for your healing and guidance. This morning we especially remember Joan Hadley, Thelma Bruner, and Jane Malachowski. We pray for the family of John Jostin, Give them peace in their grief. For our world, which reflects such strife and dis-ease, for the people of the Ukraine, for the people of Gaza, of Israel, of Iran, liberate us, God, from hatred and evil. Lord, we take time to now silently express our innermost joys and concerns. For the joy of your ever-abiding peace, we give you thanks. Amen.
Well, as we prepare to receive our morning offering, I think we are going to be collecting love. It's a collection of love. Each one of us putting our little piece of love into the world that God so loves. So let us now receive those gifts and offerings. Gracious God, bless these gifts. Bless each and every giver. Help us to remember that you are present everywhere and that your love reigns. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.
Good morning. Just a quick word about the closing hymn. Dale spoke a lot this morning about being in community. See, I do pay attention. And one way we are in community is through hymn singing. An ancient form of singing hymns was the call and response. So we're going to utilize that in the closing hymn. You'll notice that the choir will sing the text in italics, and you'll repeat the text then in bold. The third line is sung all together in unison, and we will sing the hymn twice.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God give you peace today, tomorrow, forever. Amen.